Let's get to Carrie Craig. Carrie is the Global Equity Strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management. He joins from Melbourne. Carrie, thanks for being with us. A lot going on in markets. The crypto story has really captivated many people's imagination. And among other things, it's created some haven buying in U.S. Treasuries, and that in turn has sent yields much, much lower. We've got the CPI print tomorrow morning in the U.S. Are you comfortable with rates where they are right now? Would you be a buyer of U.S. Treasuries on the notion that we have seen some sort of peak inflation? The Fed may be adjusting its pace of rate hikes to a lower level. Are you comfortable with where the bond market is right now?
Hi, Doug. I think when it comes to the outlook for rates and where yields are, I mean, you definitely argue that it is more likely to be downward pressure on yields in the U.S. Treasury market than upward pressure, given some of those safe haven flow concerns and the risk to the outlook for the U.S. economy. Obviously, there's still a degree of uncertainty about where exactly the terminal rate is for the Fed over the coming year. I mean, they cracked open the door to a 5% rate at last meeting, and they may go higher. And there's still that uncertainty as well around just how sticky those core components of inflation will be. So it's not entirely impossible to see rates move a little bit higher. But I do think for us, we've been allocating or advocating that investors should be looking more towards duration, to increasing that duration from large underweights they've had for a long time this year, because we do see bond markets and core government bonds markets now fulfilling a role of both having income and offering diversification to portfolios, which is quite frankly what you need given the outlook for the uncertain outlook for the risk assets out there.
So, Carrie, where do you see the peak in inflation and in real rates too? I mean, I think Barclays earlier this week said it was kind of like pointing your finger at a dartboard, which is not probably what investors want to hear when they want some more clarity out there.
Yeah, at the moment when you're trying to figure out like where's the peak in inflation or where's the peak in yields or where's the low in the equity market, it's like being given directions of saying, take the second left before you get to the bridge without knowing where the bridge is. I mean, you're kind of guessing about where exactly you should turn, and the risk is that you turn too early. For us, I think the outlook for the US inflation is that it's peaked, it's coming down. I do expect inflation to be, you know, a few tenths lower when it's announced later on today in the Australian time. I think that'll continue its downward trend. I mean, you are seeing indications of some early softening in the labor market coming through, even though things are still very tight. You are seeing the housing market starting to slow, and that will, you know, gradually ease some of those shelter costs within the inflation basket. But it's about how fast it comes down, not whether it comes down and where it actually ends up. And that's the thing there is the uncertainty about. And so I think for the US, at least, you can say you've passed the peak in that, and you can probably say you've past the absolute peak in hawkishness, given we do expect the size of rate hikes to be less in the coming meetings, even if they may move the terminal rate higher. In other markets like the Australian market or Europe, I mean, we're still looking for that peak, though. That peak in inflation is likely to happen in the last quarter of this year or early into next year, given some of the delayed impacts of the feeding through into those economies.
So I'm listening to your points, and I'm trying to understand how to get exposure in markets right now. And it sounds to me like I want to be in the corporate bond market more than I want to be in the equity market. Very quickly, 30 seconds or so. Safe bet?
I think that's true. You want quality and your bias in your portfolio, and that does lean to high-grade corporate bonds where valuations are still good. You're getting income and you're getting defense.
We've seen a pretty good start to the month for Asian equities, up some 5%. Is that something that is driven on fundamentals, or are we expecting to see a little bit of a pause coming through, given we still have the uncertain picture in China with them sticking to COVID zero?
Well, I think some of the movement you've seen in Asia obviously has been around the prospect of a reopening in China in terms of the performance. I mean, we had a one-week gain there last week of close to a 10% for the MSCI China. But I think more broadly, you're seeing the impulse of reopening still coming through many Asian markets and helping lift domestic demand at a time when external demand is being weaker. So the idea that the Asian region might be slightly more resilient, particularly the southern nations, to some of the weakness that's happening in the global economy and some of the weakness you might see in the North Asian economies like China, Taiwan and Korea from the global goods cycle slowing down, is helping lift the markets here relative to the rest of the world.
We're going to have a new premier come March. This is Li Keqiang. Li Qiang, I'm sorry, sometimes my opinion gets a little rusty. Are you heartened by this this movement toward maybe less liberalism on the part of Beijing, or maybe are you more concerned about it?
I think when it comes to the policy decisions from China, we're looking for two things. Obviously, we've had the National People's Congress, which is sort of outlining the longer term goals. And there wasn't a huge difference there between what we heard before. I think what we're really looking for is how we might see over the next couple of months when we get all these key meetings around their short-term policies when it comes to COVID, when it comes to reopening, when it comes to some of those regulatory headwinds that have been in the past and how they're changing, really to lift sentiment both for consumers in China, for companies, and obviously for investor sentiment. We do see the long-run potential in China being, you know, very huge. We do see the rotation towards a lot of those things around technology and that self-sustainability being quite key investment themes. But again, it's just the sentiment factor that's getting in the way at the moment. Obviously, valuations have become much more favorable over the course of this year.
It's all about the timing of the reopening, I guess, in China, because it does seem as well that they're trying to prep the population too. So even if you do see some kind of a timeline after the NPC, does that still take another 6 months or so? But it's a trade you don't want to be behind. What kind of rally would you expect to see when we do get official confirmation?
I look back to the rally you had earlier in the year when you had the initial reopening, the market jumped back very sharply. It might not perform the same this time. We still have the concerns and the overhang from the property market, the deleveraging that still has to happen there. And again, while you're seeing some stabilization there, we don't expect, you know, that to continue indefinitely because of the help from the support from the government and the fact that you are seeing projects that are underway being completed rather than new projects being started. So I think that's still something that may be a word of caution, but we would expect the market to come back up. And I think more broadly in the global economic context, as we think about weakness in Europe, weakness in the US, you're really looking towards China as being, you know, can that be the spark that sort of reignites for sentiment around the world, or at least the APAC region more broadly,
yeah,
in 2023?
Well, that was my next question. If you look at some of the satellite markets, whether it's South Korea or Japan or where you are in Australia, I mean, are you favoring one market over another?
We are looking towards the more Southeast Asian nations, given that domestic demand that's coming through, and again, those headwinds from the global goods cycle not being quite as severe compared to, say, Taiwan and Korea. And then locally in Australia, obviously, you've got a market that, or an economy that's being much more resilient to the slowdown we've seen elsewhere. We've still got good commodity prices, which are helping deliver incomes through dividends to households, and that defensive bias that comes with that as a market. So I think definitely within the region, I think Asia, Southeast Asia is looking a little bit better to us. And again, Australia has some good potential coming through, and valuations here are very attractive as well.
And just a final quick word on Australia. When do we see peak rates from the RBA?
Our view is probably sooner than many others. We think, you know, you get another 25 basis points this year, and then maybe one more into the early part of next year. And then you'll be seeing a relatively extended pause as we look for the change in mortgage rates to actually feed through to the household consumer sector. And some of those concerns offshore maybe starting to bite here as well. So we don't think we're too far off in terms of thinking about a peak in the cash rate here in Australia.
All right, music to my ears as a mortgage holder. Thank you, Kerry Craig, Global Equity Strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management, on the line from Melbourne for us here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.